here I am, a bit nervous about sort of 2 weeks of teaching on the heart of worship. And there's so much in my experience, so much in my heart, so much in my mind to share. I'm not sure quite how much I'm going to pack into 2 weeks, but my prayer is that actually you all get something. Now, whether you're here by choice, because actually I appreciate we were all in here, and then there was like, okay, people had to leave to go somewhere else. It may be heart of worship may not be exactly what your choice would be, but none of the other three really ticked your box. And it was like, well, I'm comfortable, I'll stay. And actually, that is fine. That is good. Because actually, well, as I was preparing for this, God was stirring my heart to say, actually, there'll be people who, as I'm speaking now, are not really in that zone of wanting to hear about worship, but you are in the right place at the right time to hear what worship is really all about. So if that's you, if you're sitting there, that's, I'm not pointing fingers and I'm not condemning you, but I'm encouraging you to say, actually, it's not a fluke. It's not just a coincidence that you didn't choose any of the other three. Actually, you're sat there because God wants you here on this date to hear whatever I'm going to share that I pray will stir your heart to worship. If you're here because actually, yeah, you looked through that list and was like, nope, not evangelism. No, definitely not this. But actually, yes, I really, really, really want to hear about worship. Then brilliant. That's good too. Because I hope and I pray that actually I will share something that will just perhaps refresh you, remind you of this lifestyle of worship. Let me just introduce myself. Obviously, I'm a worship leader. I played keys this morning. If you thought I had a twin brother, I am not. I am completely, there's only one Garrel. My mum says, thank you very much, God, for that. And my dad. I'm the worship leader. I'm a worship team leader. So I oversee the team of worshippers who we are blessed with week by week as we sing our worship. And worship is so much more than that. And we will get into that of really understanding what worship is. But actually, it is singing as well as other things. And some of what I'm going to be teaching and helping you to understand is actually singing is good. Singing is right. And everybody on this planet, every human being can sing. They may say, I can't sing. But actually, if you're thinking it from God's perspective, everybody can sing. Absolutely everybody. Let me just give you one example of why I say that. About 12 years ago, I led worship at a prayer event. It was a small event. Actually, I was there on my keyboard. I was leading by myself. Wasn't any other team with me. There's probably about 20 people, three rows of people. And we started worshiping, and I heard not a pleasant sound from someone sitting on the front row. And I thought, I've got 2 days of this. Actually, if that person sits there every single day, I'm going to struggle to concentrate because they were loud, they were enthusiastic, but actually, in my opinion at that point, I would say they could not sing. But that is one of the things that God challenges me on, quite on a regular basis. Actually, you stand there, you listen, you think, but actually he stirs the heart and says, actually, don't you dare judge that person. Because I looked at that person and God showed me something so pure, so intimate, so beautiful, that actually it was like him saying, they've got it. And it taught me a lesson there of never to judge anybody by whether actually on this human level they can sing, or on a human level they're viewed as they can't sing. Because actually, I would say every human being can sing. Even if it's a grumble, actually in God's ears, it's beautiful. So, if you're here and you really want to be here, brilliant. If you're here and you actually didn't really choose to be here, but it was more comfortable to stay here, brilliant. Because you're all now going to hear my heart, but more importantly, God's heart for what worship is all about. So we've got 2 weeks of this. And I said, I, I've got a list of things. I haven't sort of written it as I'm going to say it because it's just prompts. I'm better just with bullet points and go, right, okay, God, you take over. You give me a framework. You give me a plan. I'm just going to go bit by bit by bit by bit. And we'll see how far we get in week one, and then I'll review it and go, okay, what have I got left over for next week? And if you want to come next week, brilliant. If you don't want to come next week, brilliant. Totally up to you. I'm just looking around so I do remember, but I won't judge anybody. But what I thought I'd do to start with is just to summarise, what in a statement am I wanting to cover today and next week? This is my summary. This is what I'm saying, what I want to share with you this week. A refreshing, a reminder, and an awakening to everyone of the reality of who God is. Our God who reveals, responds, and rescues. And our only proper response is to worship him, and that being our desire, longing, and joy. Because we're all created to worship. Everybody on this planet is a worshiper. It's just how God made us. There is that sort of desire to honor and to think and to exalt things. And what I want to sort of be clear right from the very start is actually we're called to worship, and we're called to worship God. It says quite clear in the commandments, worship the Lord your God. But it's so easy in life to worship other things. So easy. And even in church, it's so easy to worship other things. And we've got to be careful because there are little potholes, dangers, paths that lead us off on a different direction. We need to be very careful. And I'm hopefully going to unpack just some of that. But actually, straight line down the middle, actually, we are called to worship God. And there's no, in one sense, no better passage of scripture for us to start with, actually, of what worship is all about. If you've got your Bibles, please, I encourage you to turn with me right to the back of the Bible, to the book of Revelation. So Revelation, we're going to read, or if you want to, you can just sit back and listen and close your eyes. Just try and imagine what is going on here. Revelation, we're going to start at chapter 4, and we're already chapter 4 and chapter 5. It's quite a long passage, but actually what it does, it just shows us, one, what is going on at the moment, two, what has always gone on, and three, what will always go on. There is this picture we have of perfect, pure worship. So let me read this, either follow it or just allow your mind just to build this picture. Try, if you can, it's quite detailed, but just allow, sort of say, God, would you help me to understand, build a picture in my mind of what is going on in heaven. And this is obviously John, obviously having this revelation. It says this, after this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice that had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby. A rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. Before the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also, before the throne was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center, around the throne, were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second like an ox, the third had a face like a man, the fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. Day and night, they never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw a lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center before the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. The lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, with which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God members of every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom of priests and to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshipped. What a picture. What a reality that is going on in heaven day, night, night, day, day, night, night, day. Never getting bored, never getting tired, never focusing on those amazing living creatures. No, no one worshipped them. They're pretty amazing. If you imagine, I think they could really could make a great movie out of that, with actually these big creatures with eyes. Just imagine. I don't know when I was reading that passage, you could picture these living creatures just with all that I describe, but actually with eyes everywhere, seeing everything. But it wasn't about them. Pretty magnificent, but actually it wasn't them who received any worship. And none of them said, actually, can we change from holy, 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 because actually we've done this for a few billion times now. Can we change it to another word? No. It's just holy. 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 And I would think, this is just I've never sort of studied what actually those actually would mean. But actually, I think every time they said holy, it was just holy. And it was said in a different way of like, holy, holy. Just they see and they respond. They see and they respond. And so much in church, we think it's a lot about what we like and our choice. And I've received questions, and I'm sure I'm you're as guilty as me as over the Sunday lunch. How was worship today? Did you enjoy worship? No, I didn't really enjoy worship today. Let me just say, it was never whether you liked it or not. Whether you liked it this morning, that's the wrong question, completely wrong question to ask. Because worship is not about you. It's not for you. It's not centered around you. If you like it or not, actually, if you came to me, I'd be like, I don't really care, because actually it's not for you and what you like and what you don't like. Actually, it's the question you're asking, God, did we come in purity and in the best way we can before you? Did you get all glory for this morning? Nothing on an earthly level should we be questioning. We can think about that this morning. Some brilliant times. We sang those words this morning, day and night, night and day. Let incense arise. Worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. And it's brilliant that we can collectively worship. It's brilliant that we can individually worship. But actually, at the end of the day, it's never about us. It should never be about us. And that may be just a shift. We have to learn to make, because we are human, and sometimes we get into that dialogue with people. Did you enjoy worship this morning? Did worship go on too long? And perhaps one of you, if you're in a relationship, you need to say to the person, actually, do you remember what Gareth said? That's not what should be asking. That's not the question. It's God, did you? Were you blessed this morning by our singing to him? But what do we see from this passage? It's very little about us, as I said, actually. It's only our prayers. It's only just, and so I'm not in a sort of a high church where incense is flung about, but actually there's obviously usually sort of little smoke sort of going up. Perhaps you can picture that waving of incense. It's, in one sense, it's saying that is our contribution to the worship service. It's our prayers that get put in that bowl, and we just... Can I just be just a little whisper of, can I just, because that's going on, that's going on. If you imagine that in the heavenlies is going on and has gone on this morning as we've happily just worshipped in our song, actually it's just like, can we join? And actually our join is perhaps just that, just a little prayer in that bowl that's presented by the elders of just, can I just be part of that? And it's just getting, what I want us to do is get our head round. Actually, worship is brilliant. And I'm all for song worship, actually. Worship is so much more. But actually, I love singing and worshiping. Love it. I love it corporately. But actually, if you were a little passenger in my car, it would be exactly the same. Believe me, I've had some very strange looks at traffic lights when I'm going for it full pelt. And the only speeding ticket I ever had was when I was worshipping.
It's true. It's true. I was driving. I was worshiping, waiting, praying, because actually something was going on that I got a text before I left somewhere. I was like praying, come on, God, come on. And I put the music on. I was going for it. And then a flash of light. It wasn't from God. It was from the speed camera. Honestly, that is the only speeding ticket I've ever had is when I was worshiping and praying. I do it. It's not how I'm wired necessarily. It's a reality of what God has done for me. And I may go into that. I may not. I don't know yet. But more of that will be probably next week of us, our story, and realize actually God has done something really, really, really good for us. Really good. But actually, even if he didn't do that, but he has done that, even if he didn't, God is so, so, so amazing. He really, really is. He really, really is. I can't, it's difficult to describe because actually there's not many words in the English language we can go, okay, God, you are this. There's so many names of God, because actually he's just so grand, awesome, majestic, beautiful, amazing. You just can go on list after list after list, because that is who he is. And because he's always been, even before he decided to go, okay, let's create earth, let's create human beings, he was God. And I think at times we need to put these things in perspective, because actually it's a great place to be, of saying actually eeny weeny teeny weeny yellow polka dot. No, I'm going to that one. Okay, but really we are really 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 small, and in one sense completely useless. Is there 7 billion people on this planet? And that's only the ones that are living and breathing now. How many have there been? How many is there going to continue to be? And that's just our planet Earth. Now, I do like to sort of, when I put the rubbish out on a Thursday night, when I get back from worship practice, look up, and actually, if it's a clear night, there are a few billion stars to look at. I don't know whether you gaze and look up and go, just... It's pretty amazing. And we are just one little planet. And you are, and I am, one of 7 billion people. But this is the God who knows and loves and adores us. So what is going on in this passage? I'll just pick up a few things. Actually, it's continual. Worship in heaven doesn't stop. And how we are wired is, okay, can we start 10:30? And if it gets to sort of gone 12:20, actually, the taste buds of coffee and tea and biscuits are already sort of in the mind of, can I get to the front of the queue first? Because is that where the best? Actually, I don't get to go to tea and coffee that often because we have... Thank you. So I don't know whether the best biscuits are there first. Someone could tell. Are the best biscuits there first? Yes. Okay. So you might be thinking, actually, when is the tea and coffee come in? Because actually, it's time. And naturally, we're thinking about our Sunday lunch. We're going out. The table booked, or the chicken in the Chicken in the slow cooker is brilliant. Yeah. Anyone put chicken in slow cooker? It is amazing. You put it in at 9 o'clock, come to church, go back about 1 o'clock, you open the front door. Ah, I know what's coming. But we start thinking about this thing, then we put barriers on, like, okay, if Damien preached a little bit too long of like, come on, time. We have that, and I'm not saying we should ever sort of just completely eradicate boundaries and sort of timescales, but actually we have this mentality, and I'm guilty of actually enough. Actually I've times, but actually let's just try and think. Worship in heaven, they don't get tired. And one time we're gonna be there with them in the multitudes of people just roaring, singing, seeing, amazed by what's going on, and we won't be thinking about the dinner in the oven. Not going to be on our mindset at all. So it's continual. What also is it? It's prophetic. There's prophetic worship going in there. It happens. It speaks in chapter 5, verse 9, where it says, and they sang a new song, "You are worthy." It's that they saw the Lamb of God. They saw Jesus. And they said, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain." Indicates that actually you will identify actually Jesus being the one who has actually the scars in his hand and side will be clear to us. We will see the one who actually stretched out his hands and his arms on that cross and said those amazing words, "It is finished." And that is loaded, loaded with meaning. Not just three simple words, "It is finished, that's it." Actually, there's so much. I've heard a sermon on that actually blew my mind of actually just unpacking those three dynamic words when the Son of God breathed his last and said, "It is finished." So much happened in that moment. And we know the veil was torn. We know access was given to you and me to step into that holy place. We'll do more of that next week because I want to go into next week more about us. Not us being any value, but actually what God has done for us that actually catapults us into wanting to worship. So it saw the Son of God. There was a prophetic sort of element in that worship. There's intercessory. I've already said those bowls of prayers, interceding for us. The elders were actually collecting our prayers and offering them up. That's the part that we, while on this earth, actually are a part of, really. Just that opportunity for our prayers to be a whisper of smoke in the presence of God. And it's also spontaneous and dynamic. And I love that. And you remember a couple of weeks ago, I wanted to share this because some of you may have been in the service where we had this sort of little eruption of sort of praise and just the worship had pretty much finished. But actually there was just this moment of excitement. And because, and I've seen it and I've been part of it, where you go to a church and it seems to be sort of manipulated a little bit. Actually, the worship team are like, "Well, we get into the moment and we're going to really go for it and we're going to draw the people in and say, 'Come on!' And if you feel compelled to go, 'Hallelujah,' or 'Praise the Lord,' whatever." Can I say that was absolutely not the plan on that Sunday? It happened. It just happened. We were singing, "God, you're so good. God, you're so good." And something in that moment, just in everyone's heart, was like, "Yes!" Everybody got it. And just for about 30, 40 seconds, we just had this moment of praise and just lifting up. And actually, yeah, the worship team were taken a bit by surprise. It was like, "Whoa, okay, keep going. Come on, Isaac, keep doing the drums. Come on." Because actually, we felt it. We knew it actually because of you were worshiping. And it's great that we as a worship team help you to worship. But actually, all we're doing is saying, look. And you look here, "Whoa." And then you want to worship because you see God and how amazing he is. And we are blessed with amazing songs. We sang amazing songs this morning that are so true. "You are good, good. You'll never let me go. Oh, you'll never let me go." We sing them, but we don't just sing because they're up on the screen or they're lyrics that actually everyone else is doing. Actually, there is a truth. And that's my heart desire, actually, when we sing the songs, actually, even if those words disappeared, even if we had a complete power cut, that actually you just continue worshipping. Not to say we want to do that, but actually that would be a real test, wouldn't it? Actually, if we had a blackout and like, vroom, and we're in the middle of a song, what would happen? I can honestly say, I would sort of, in that moment, I'd be like, Someone sort it. Actually, where's the fuse box? Come on. This is get down to reception. Get that person back here. Particularly if I was leading and my keyboard, because actually there'd be nothing. my keyboard relies upon electricity. But actually, what would be so much better if actually we're just in that moment and actually we just continue dynamic, spontaneous. And it's not all about the corporate. It's brilliant when we come together, we can do that. But actually, how spontaneous is your worship when you're by yourself? There you go, here's a challenge for you. How dynamic is your worship when you are just by yourself? In a moment, you get that gaze of the glory of God and just like, wow, what? How dynamic and spontaneous is your worship? So, thinking about how great God is. Because actually, in one sense, my understanding of worship, he reveals, we respond. It starts with him and who he is and what he's all about. And he is screaming out, this is who I am. See me. I'm showing myself to you. What I do, I've got various things. These are just things that help me to sort of put things into perspective. I got this as a, I think it was a birthday present. Yes, it was, from my sister, who's a church leader, and she's based in one of the Channel Islands. And it's, I got two of them, they're bookends. But within each one, you probably can't see, but actually a lot of names to describe God. Let me read a few. Anointed, Messiah, Healer, Bridegroom, Prince of Peace, Eternal, Loving, Sovereign, Alpha and Omega, Merciful Teacher, The Light, Resurrection, Son of Man, The Great I Am, Righteous, Son of God, Anointed, Wonderful Counselor, Lord of Lords, Savior, Comforter, Rock, Bread of Life, Emmanuel, trying to think of ones I haven't duplicated, High Priest. There's so much. And just as a help, actually, if I'm in that place of like, okay, I'm feeling sort of a bit sort of, I'm not quite ready for this, I just repeat some of those characteristics and names of God, and it doesn't take long to get to a place of woe is me to actually, wow, God, you are amazing. And I encourage you to do that. Find out all the names of God that you can think of. Write them down. Put them in the places where perhaps you know strategically you feel a bit weak. You know those places. You know the places where actually you're tempted. You know the places where you're discouraged. Put something as a reminder. So you just go, I'm going to read this list. And sometimes it feels a bit like I'm reading something, but actually, can I tell you from experience, it doesn't take long to actually change from just reading something to actually really believing and getting something in the right perspective. God is great. And I wish I could describe more words. And I wish, and I'm sure you could too, of just, this is you, God. This is you. Let me just sit. Oh, I've lost my screen. We'll see if it comes up in a bit. But anyway, I was going to show you some pictures of stars. Because I love go back to the beginning of Genesis. You don't have to follow me if you don't want to. I'm just going to, very early on, when God, who has always been, okay, remember this, that God was never created. It's not like you and me where he started off as little and he started to grow and he got pretty big and then he's growing and growing. Actually, God has always been. And it's by faith. Actually, I haven't seen God, but in faith, I believe. Because it says it. And sometimes you have to read and go, actually, do I understand? I don't. I'm not academic. I never went to university. Okay? Not that that's the be-all and end-all, but actually, I was not that bright a kid at school. I did okay. I was the guinea pig for GCSEs. It was all that moment of moving from O-levels and CSEs. And hey, my cohort was like, GCSEs. I scraped past. I just about got it. So I'm not an intellectual person. I'm not. You're surprised. No, you're not. Actually, look at me and go, no, it's not really, is it? It's not really, it's a bit dumb. I'm not an I don't go into the real scientific detail of did God create the world in 7 days? I personally, I don't really care how long it took him to create. All I know is he did. It might have taken 7 billion years. I don't really care because I know he did. If God wanted to speak and there'd be a big bang, because I'm sure actually God is a bit powerful, that if he speaks there's going to be a bit of a noise, then if there was a big bang, there was a big bang. And a lot of you are not sort of saying you're wrong to go deeper, but actually for me it's by faith. Actually I just believe that it said God created, so I go, well, okay, you did. God created. Like, no one else did. I don't see anywhere else that says God may not have. Actually, in here it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Full stop. He did it. But then he talks about this. Obviously, we know the creation story in there. Your kids are doing it upstairs if you've got kids, so it's amazing. Get them to talk about it. But actually, it's not long before he talks about stars, but he doesn't talk a lot about it. I don't know whether you noticed in verse 16 of chapter 1, God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. And I said, I love to look at stars. I love just to stand in the garden after I've taken the rubbish out. Probably that's the most regular time I see them. And just look up and just see this array of stars. And think that I'm only seeing what I can see. And the images I've got are from the Hubble Space sort of camera. Obviously, it goes out 100,000 light years and this and that. And it shows this is what's out there and the beauty. And does it also say in the Bible, actually, he knows the stars. He calls them out by name. This is God who knows billions, 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 however many we've seen. They seem to always, I've been told, they always seem to sort of say, well, actually, we've gone a bit further. There's another billion galaxies and another. Actually, we're limited. And that's the God that we are called and able to worship. And I hope you're getting this. Actually, I'm not bringing it down to our level, because actually, in one sense, that's not what I want to do today. It is this reality of who God is, because actually this is speaking from my experience. Actually, when I realize how God is, how small I am, actually it takes me to that place of bowing down to him, because actually I'm useless without him. I'm nothing without him. But actually that's when that part of actually he knows me and he loves me and he saved me makes it even more glorious to worship, because actually you realize what he's done for you. But actually, if he hadn't done that for you, he is still God. He's still God. I suppose the statement I want to make today is just get God. Get him. Just get him. Actually, he'll blow your mind. He'll completely take you off any scale of understanding. You just have to accept that actually I don't know everything, because actually the more I do get to understand, the more I realize I don't understand. So there's this awe, there's this wonder, there is this majesty of God. And we, going back to Revelation, it's just like, wow, it's all about him. Worship is all about him. Turn with me to Psalm 19. Let's just stick with this amazing God who shows us, reveals himself. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth. The words to the end
of the world. In the heavens he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing in his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. And just a little nugget there of actually when we thought in like however many years it was that the earth was flat. I don't know, people who studied it may remember who said that, but actually didn't they say we'd drop off the end of the earth? It doesn't say here, it says pitched. Cunning course runs, sorry, I've lost it. Circuit makes its circuit to the other. That's round. Just saying, this is actually in scripture. Actually, it says round, not flat. Round, not flat. There's also about the water cycle as well. It's in the Bible. I don't even know that. Actually, it talks about sort of the vapor and the evaporating and sort of going and then coming back again. So the water cycle. That's God made that happen. And it's just like, yeah, wow, the wonder of God. There's so much, so much more to God. But he's not like us. If you turn with me to Isaiah 55, just again to put this comparison, actually, God is not like you and me. He's so much greater. Verse 8, it says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And just to share on this, so we get to worship practice. Obviously, we have our life group. We have our sort of times of sharing. The other week, I shared this because it was in my devotions. I don't know how many use the YouVersion? How many use the Bible app? I can recommend it. It's really good. Actually, just download it on your phone, Bible, and it's YouVersion. You get sort of these sort of devotions. They're nice because they're nuggets, little sort of short passages. It's not like a 15, 20-minute read. It's sort of 2-3 minute, just the start of the day. And I read this the other week. It says this, be confident of this, worshipper. Our hope is in the Lord God alone. Because we are precious in his sight, there is no other eye that looks out for our protection. There's no other hand that can save us from our fear. There is no other ear that can hear every utterance of our soul. There is no other voice that can speak words of wisdom and love to bring us back to life. And it got me thinking about God seeing, God hearing, God reaching, God speaking. And it's not comparable to us. Actually, when I think about seeing, I think about sort of what can I see? I can see all you here. Hopefully you can see me. I can't see what's going on through that wall, what the other seminars are happening. We can't see that. We're limited. But God sees. How does he do that? I don't know. He's God. He's God. How does he hear everything? He's hearing me. He's hearing what's going on in your mind that actually I can't hear. Some of you are thinking, is it near that time yet? It's 8 minutes past. We've got a few more minutes to go. He knows. That's our amazing God. He hears everything. And we are, let's say, is it 80, 90 people here probably? And it can't be compared. If all of you said something at the same time to me, I wouldn't barely hear everything and say, right, okay, I heard what you said then. Actually, it would be like a mass of noise. But God hears everything. And he rescues his arm. It says in sort of a couple of chapters later in Isaiah, his hand is not too short to save. I love that. And I shared an example. My oldest son, not Isaac, I've got another son. He's at university now in Bedford. But when he was young, when he was about Isaac's age, we went to a walk-in in the Derbyshire Dales, and as a 8-9-year-old decided to do, he went in the water, actually didn't have boots on, had shoes on, slipped, got one down, and the bank started to rise up, and the water was obviously the same level. So I was sensible dad, I was like walking up the bank and seeing Ethan sort of disappear sort of down there. And then it got to a point where he had to either come back or climb up the bank. He decided to climb up the bank. That's a good thing to do. Actually, it's fine. Yeah, he was a 9-year-old strong boy, but he got about sort of nearer the top, and he panicked. Complete panic. And I could see in his eyes, Dad, Dad, I'm going to slip. He was holding onto grass. You know, like you see, like you think, that's not good. That's not going to hold me. That's going to hold me. His feet were wet. He was slipping. So what did Dad do? Actually, I lay down on the bank, reached down with my left arm. I'm left-handed, stronger arm. I reached down and said, grab my hand. Grab my hand. And you could see the fear of just like, but if I let go, I'm going to go. Don't, just reach out my hand, reach out it, get it. And I hold him. You know, like you hold it, he grabs your wrist, you grab his wrist. You know you've got him. And that point, there was still fear in his eyes of like, Dad, don't drop me, don't drop me, because actually it's quite steep. I said, I've got you. Don't you worry, I'm not letting you go. And you speak in that, and it's just like God said, actually, I've got you. I've got you. I'm not letting you go. He's reaching down where, however low you think you go, he's able to reach down. His hand is not too short to save. It's getting a bit into us, and I'm going to leave you on a bit of a cliffhanger, because I do want you to come back next week. But that's what God is able to do, actually. And actually, it's so great. Actually, I use the analogy of me, but actually, the way God does it is so much. His ways are not my ways. His thoughts are not my thoughts. The way he talks is not the way I talk. He speaks. We read earlier in Psalm 19, actually, it's as the heavens sort of are speaking. It's like, do I hear it? No, not in my ears. But actually, there's something about God that is just screaming out, this is who I am. Look at me. Not that he needs it. He doesn't need it. He's not egotistical. He's not like crying out for, I need worship. Actually, he just knows that we need to worship. We need to have that in our lives. Because if we don't, we worship something else. You will worship something else. Everybody worships. It's created in us to worship, to desire, to long, to elevate, to exalt something. He wants our worship. And the question is, what are we seeing? Are you seeing enough for you to respond? And that is, if there was a question to leave you with, that is the question. What are you seeing? Because God is revealing time, time, and time, and time again. He's patient, he's loving, but he is declaring, this is who I am. This is what I do. This is what I've done. What are we looking at? That's the question. I'm probably going to round off there, because now it's 13 minutes past. I want to be done by 20 past. I'll get a pat on the back because I finished in time. And you might get the best biscuits. But let's pray first, sort of before. And just allow what I've shared. I prayed before I started, and I prayed this week that just something has just stuck within of like, it may sort of prevent just more questions, and that's fine. And actually, if you want to come and have a chat with me about something, please do. I'll be around afterwards. But find someone. If you've got questions, find someone to like, tell me about this, God. If you're not in a place where actually you have that relationship, get alongside someone. Just put them on the spot and say, tell me about your God. Tell me. I've had a bit of a nudge of I need perhaps to find out who this God is that this crazy worship leader was talking about on Sunday. And we'll go crazy next week. I'll be more practical. There were some practical things I could have done this morning, but I just felt I wanted to give this real foundation, this bedrock of it's all about God. And if we use that as a good starting point, then actually when we get involved and when we
have the opportunity to worship, and we've given that freedom to worship, that we do it and we remember the foundation, because actually it's so easy to veer off and to become about us, to come about the worship team, to become about the pastor, to come about this and like that and program and how well we're doing. Actually, when in the end, it's all about him. Full stop. Let's pray. Father God, we are in awe of you. We reflect here this morning as we've just been reminded of your greatness. Lord, you, in one sense, me talking is just crazy to talk to the God of the universe, the God who spoke and said, let there be light, and actually light came out of your mouth. Just you created those billions of stars, and you are pleased with all you created. And you made humanity, you created Adam and Eve, and Lord, even though they made mistakes and we make mistakes, Lord, you still love us. So Father God, would you come and do what no human being and no human seminar can do when it talk about worship? Just do something in everybody's heart in this place. Lord, for those that are believers, those that declare your name, Lord, just stir again a real passion for you, God. Not for sung worship, not for anything, but you, God. And Lord, for anybody who here in the sound of my voice is yet to know you, Lord, I pray, would you do something that actually I can't with my words over these next few minutes, days, weeks? Give them opportunity to search. Give them boldness to get alongside someone and say, okay, tell me about your crazy God. What's he all about? Lord, put the right people at the right time to respond to that, and give them boldness to be unashamed and unafraid just to share what God means to them. And be that any of us in this room, give us boldness. Be unashamed to share how great you are. And so, Father God, at the end of this time, Lord, we look forward to what you have for us in the time ahead. Use each one of us, we pray, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.